you. Oh, hello. I'm Anders Osborne, and I'm talking with Zachary.
Since settling in New Orleans in 1985, singer and guitarist Anders Osborne has become a fixture in the Louisiana rock scene. His latest release is a 6-song EP entitled Three Free Amigos, which bridges the gap between last year's full-length Black Eye Galaxy and another album to be released later in 2013, tentatively titled Peace.
It was my manager that thought it would be a good idea to do something in between the two LPs, the full-length albums, something to keep everybody,
at bay.
At bay. No, but also, yeah, just to kind of keep it exciting and keeping things going. And also, he knows that I work in the studio a lot. I produce other people, and it's just kind of a good opportunity. Once I'm in there doing that, he thought, why don't you just take a few days and record something really simple? So I wrote a few things, and then we came out with the idea of doing different versions of old catalog stuff. So what I did was I started with the acoustic, and then I would sing the song by myself, and then we would add instruments if it needed afterwards.
The title of the EP and the title of the first track is Three Free Amigos. Where does that title come from?
It was me, Johnny Sansone, and Clarence Beccaro, which is another singer-songwriter. The three of us, we were out touring, I think 2009 maybe. So I wrote a song about the three of us. And then I toured as a trio with Robert Walter and Stanton Moore. And that was another trio. We cut that record, American Patchwork. And then I formed my trio now, so it just seemed like a reoccurring theme for me to always be three guys.
So where did you guys record the record?
Oak Street Studios, which is Roger Branch and Lou Rojas. They have a place up on Oak Street. It's like an old, I think it's not a shotgun. It's more of a store, corner house, like an old grocery store or something. And they've turned it into a studio. It's been around for a while.
I've noticed New Orleans seems to have more secret recording studios like that, and houses and weird places than anywhere else.
Yeah, it's got a lot of little things where you go, where's that? What? Yeah. No, but that's Roger's been there for a long time. He used to work at Sea Saint. And they got the old Sea Saint MCI console up there, which sounds phenomenal. The mixing board that they did, early meters and stuff like that.
As you alluded to earlier, you have a full length coming out later in the year.
Mm-hmm. That's a new one, yeah. Should be coming out in September, I think. And same thing there. I used my band and Warren Riker. We went to Dockside Studios. And John Groh's on there, Jason Mingledorf on some sax, Brady Blade played some drums too.
What sort of sound are you going for on that record?
It's kind of hard to describe. It's a little bit more put together from bare bone. I didn't want to bring in the songs completely finished and then just record it. So we did a lot of tracking, just trio, right? And then I kind of worked it out. I finished a lot of the songs in there. I didn't have them finished, so I worked on lyrics and small arrangements and things in there. I'd say it's pretty driving. It has a little more tempo straight through. There's one or two ballads, but it's got some action to it.
Is there a working title for the new album?
Yes. It's called Peace. It had a working title called Generation, and then it was Generation Peace. And then it just became Peace, and now it's just a peace sign. I think actually that's where we are right now. It's a peace sign. Yeah, man.
So you've been living here in New Orleans since
1985, something like that.
When did you first know you wanted to stay? How long did it take you to feel at home here?
Well, that, I think, happened instantly. I think that was an instant feeling, which is why I stayed. I think New Orleans is unique in that way. New Orleans is not looking for a lot from you. You know what I mean? You just have to be here. I think New Orleans is made up out of people being here, whether it's six generations or visiting on a Sunday afternoon. That is the makeup of the city of New Orleans. I don't think you can remove one or the other. So, and that's, I don't think every city has that, that ability to make you feel welcome and like you belong so quickly. So, yeah, I've always felt like I belong here.
What was it about the musical scene down here that drew you in?
Oh, it's playing in the moment like they do. I mean, not only are they extremely versatile and spiritual when they play, you know, it's a culture. It runs really deep. I think it's all also, there's not a lot of pretense or calculation behind the shows. People are just playing in the moment and expressing themselves really naturally here.
Do you remember the first gig you played in New Orleans?
Yeah, I was opening for Earl King at Tipitina's. It was my first show.
How'd it go?
I guess it was good. That's a long time ago. Yeah, that was really good. I think that was the first show, but I think the Carrollton Station and Checkpoint Charlie's, because we were part of starting that whole scene at Checkpoint Charlie's around 1989-90. It had just opened up. So that was kind of a cool scene back then. A lot of young players like myself and Irene Sage, Mike Darby, Kenny Holiday, Boo Lacrosse, UNO Jazz ensembles improvising on Wednesdays. Brian Blade was part of that. And who else? Jack Quigley. I think he was the very first one. Started Mondays there. Yeah, there was a lot of us. Coco Robichaud showed up a few years into that too.
How do you think that compares with the scene today?
In general or right there? Checkpoint?
Oh, you know, in that sort of downtown Frenchman area.
In that area? Oh, I think it's kicking right now. I think it never really goes away. I think the only thing New Orleans sometimes does is it holds on really tightly to what used to be, you know. But again, the Nevilles and Dr. John and Alan Toussaint and, you know, sort of the legends of the city, the Meters and so forth, they didn't just have a scene back in the days. They're actually creating landmark music for history. So I think that's why it's hard to let go of some of that stuff. But I think the scene is bursting right now. Not that I'm too familiar with what's going on, but I always seem to hear something I haven't heard before. You know, singers and songwriters and a bunch of brass bands and revivalists. My name's John Michael.
Are there any songs on the Three Free Amigos record with a particular story behind them?
Oh, I guess Jealous Love is, you know, it sounds like it's just a Bo Diddley ripoff kind of thing, but the idea lyrically was a friend of mine, she has this relationship that with this guy and not necessarily a healthy love, but they keep, you know, there's been some incidents where you would think that she should pull out, you know, she should definitely not be around anymore, but she keeps going back and he keeps coming back. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to look at it, was it's the type of love you have sometimes where the attraction is almost like an ownership. So you rather be in that bad relationship than having anybody else touch that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's based on jealousy rather than true admiration.
So not a very healthy approach to a relationship.
Yeah. So that was kind of the idea with that.
I understand that as we speak, you're getting ready to take off for a couple of shows in Alaska tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll be in Alaska tomorrow. That's a long way from here.
Why Alaska?
I guess because they asked. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Well, Anders, good luck up north, and thanks for talking with me.
Thank you, Zachary.